You know, different preachers get their inspiration from different sources. I know most of you think that, you know, it all comes very piously, you know, that I'm reading my Bible and I hear that still small voice in my head that says, this is what I want you to preach, or, you know, I'm in prayer and I hear that still small voice preach this sermon. Well, I want you to know the sermon I'm going to preach this morning was inspired by a sign, a church sign that I saw. I passed a church on Hill Road, and the preacher doesn't put his sermon titles on it. In fact, one of our deacons wants to buy a second sign and wants to have Adam start posting my sermon titles on the sign. And Adam asked him Friday when he was talking to him about, well, usually I don't get the sermons till about midnight on Saturday. And the deacon said, that's all right, you can go up there and post it. It'll be there for Sunday morning. But I don't know about that. We'll have to see. But I saw a saying on this sign. It said, Jesus paid the price, keep the change. Jesus paid the price, keep the change. So this morning I have a two-point message. Jesus paid the price, keep the change. Jesus paid the price, keep the change. Jesus paid the price, a scripture we read a moment ago says it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's what those verses mean. They mean that God loves every single one of us. Every single person. And because he does, he wants a relationship with us. In fact, that's why we were made. Every single person was made by God. He said, I wasn't made by God. I was born by a mom and dad. Who do you think was behind that? You think that didn't happen without God making it happen? You think it just happened? No, it didn't just happen. God made it happen. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're here because God planned for you to be here. You're here because God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you that will last forever. And that's why he made that place called heaven, so that when we leave this earth, we can leave this earth and we can go to that place and we can stay with him forever and ever and ever. But as you know, there came a problem. That problem was sin. We were created to fellowship with him and to have a relationship with him, but sin came into the world. It came in via the first Adam in the Garden of Eden when he decided to disobey God and eat the fruit that God told him not to eat. And that sin has passed down from generation to generation to where it affects us. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, I can find other people to compare myself to, and I might be able to say, hey, I'm a little better than they are, or I'm a lot better than they are. And you can do the same thing. There's people in your life that you can point to and compare yourself to and say, I'm a whole lot better person than they are when it comes to doing the right thing, when it comes to doing the things that God might want me to do. But the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves to one another. The Bible says we're to compare ourselves to the glory of God, the standard of God, and the standard of God is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, when I compare myself to somebody else, I might say, I'm not so bad. But when I compare myself to the glory of God, when I compare myself to the one that was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, when I compare myself to the Lamb of God, when I compare myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, I too have to say, I am the chiefest of sinners. I fall far short of God's standard. And so do you. And again, I don't mean to offend anybody. Some of you I just met this morning. And I don't know your life in detail like I know my life in detail. But I believe what the Bible says, that we all come up short of the glory of God. And the Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. There's a wage for that sin. And that penalty or that wage is death. It's not physical death, although sin does sometimes bring on physical death and hasten physical death. But physical death is not the wage of sin. It's not the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, to be separated from the one that made me. To be separated from the God that wants a relationship with me. And because of that, because of my sin, I am separated from my God, and there's absolutely nothing that I can do to get over that separation. There's nothing that I can do to make it right with God. I can't be good enough. I mean, I can't do enough good things to make up for my sin. I've talked to people that believe that, and I always ask the question, well, how good do you have to be? How many good deeds do you have to be? How many marks do you have to put in the good column compared to the marks that are in the bad side to have God say, okay, you're okay? And they can't answer that question because there's not an answer to it. You can't be good enough. You can't be baptized and make yourself right with God. I believe you ought to be baptized after you're saved, identifying with Christ. But getting in that baptistry will not clean you up. In fact, Jesse, some people think you have green hair because you got in the baptistry and the water was bad. That's not true. The water was clean. You can't get clean in the baptistry, nor can you get clean by taking the Lord's Supper. I love the Lord's Supper. I love it every time we have it. Reminds me of what my Savior did for me. But taking that little piece of bread and drinking that little cup of juice will not make you any better with God, because the Bible says it's not of works lest any man should boast. And so the only thing that I can do, as a sinner, is pay the price that I owe to be separated from God. But God did something for me that I could not do for myself. He did something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He said, there's another way. I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send my son Jesus. And I'm going to have him live among man. He's going to be tempted just like every man is tempted. Only he's going to show that he's God. Now let me say it another way. He's going to show the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live a life sin-free. Sin-free. And I'm going to let mankind take him, and I'm going to let mankind nail him to a cross. And when he hangs, and he's going to die like a common criminal. He's going to die Roman execution style. And when he's hanging on that cross, I'm going to take every one of man's sins and I'm going to lay them on my son, and he's going to pay for every sin. And I want to tell you this morning, that's exactly what happened when Jesus went to Calvary. There was a price paid, a horrific price paid, because the Son of God, when he hung on the cross, the Son of God who had been with God for all eternity, who had been with God before the earth was created, who was with God and by his word spoke everything into existence when God said, let us make man in our image. Forever and forever, God the Son and God the Father looked at each other, fellowshipped with each other, were one with one another. When Moses wanted to see the face of God, God said, you can't see my face because anybody that sees my face dies. But when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he said, you want to know about God? Let me tell you about God. I've been with God. I've seen God. I've looked in God's faith. And the Son of God, who knew God, who was with God forever and ever, when he hung on the cross, something happened that never happened before. Something happened that will never happen again. When Jesus bore our sin, every one of our sins, God the Father in heaven, because he's a holy, perfect, righteous God and cannot tolerate sin, when his Son bore our sins, he turned his back on his Son. That one who had looked face to face with his Son for all eternity could no longer look in the face of his Son, because he bore our sins. He bore my sin. He bore your sin. And he turned his back on his Son. In that moment when the sun was dark, Jesus, hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, cried out from the cross, my God, my God, not my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that moment that God the Father forsook the Son, he was paying the price that I owed. He was paying the price that you owed. He was paying the price of sin. He was separated from God. He paid the price. Point number two, keep the change. Keep the change. Because Jesus paid the price, there's some changes that are available to us. First of all, a change in nature is available to us. You see, if we receive Christ as our Savior, ask him to save us, the Bible says all things become new. I get a new nature. You see, before I got saved, I got the old nature that I was born with, the old sinful nature. When I get saved, I get a new nature. There's a new person that comes and lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit. The old things are passed away. You say, preacher, I've known some Christians that the old things haven't passed away. They need to look at their salvation because the Bible says when they get saved, the old things pass away. Amen? The old things pass away. I get a new nature. The things that characterized my life before no longer characterized it. I get the fruits of the Spirit. I get that love and that joy and that peace and that long suffering and that gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And I could not have that new nature. I could not have that change unless Jesus paid the price. I get a change in position. Before Jesus paid the price, my position was an enemy of God. I was an outsider. I didn't care about the things of God. But Jesus, when Jesus paid the price, he offers me a change in position. Now I get to be part of the family. I get to be a son. I get to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I get a change in my position. And then I get a change in my destination. You see, before Jesus paid the price, I'll tell you where I was headed. I was headed for hell. And by the way, don't let anybody preach to you heresy. Don't let anybody tell you that hell's not a real place. Don't let anybody tell you that hell's just a state of mind. Don't just let anybody tell you that hell's the figment of somebody's imagination. Hell is as real as this place is. It's the bottomless pit. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell was not made for mankind. God's plan for every person is they go to heaven and live with him forever. Hell was created for Satan and all the angels that were cast out of heaven when they rose up in rebellion against God. And God's borrowing it to send people that reject Jesus Christ there. And by the way, once you get there, there's no way out. Now again, I know I may be discouraging some of you may have come and not believed in a literal hell. Some may have come and thought, well, if I go there, I'll get a way out. There's not a way out. Once you enter the door, there's no exit. You're going to live there forever, separated from God, because that's the penalty of sin. But because Jesus paid the price, I have possible to me a change in destination. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. So Jesus paid the price. Keep the change. Keep the change. Not because we deserve it, not because we are special, but because, as Barb sang a moment ago, and I love how the Lord brought everything together this morning, all the way from the Sunday school hour about the prodigal son through the Lord's Supper, through the songs that we sing, through your special. He loves us. That's why he paid the price. We didn't deserve it. He loves us. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do I get it? Well, I get it just like I do any other gift. I take it. I take it. Let's say I bought this Bible for Brother Russ, and I said, hey, Brother Russ, I got this Bible just for you. It's yours. I want you to have it. What's he got to do to make it his? He's got to take it. He's got to reach out and take it. That's the same thing we need to do with the gift that God has purchased for us, the gift that Christ paid the price for on Calvary's cross. We got to take it. Say, how do I take it? The Bible tells us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With my heart, I believe that I'm a sinner. By the way, it shouldn't take very much to convince us that we're a sinner. If you have a hard time believing you're a sinner, talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Talk to your kids. They'll tell you. Shouldn't take much to convince us we're a sinner. But I believe in my heart I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, what it says in the book of Isaiah happened, that God took every one of my sins and he put them on his son. I believe in my heart that when he hung on the cross, he paid the price for my sin. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it last night. Oh, the agony that must have went through God the Father's mind and heart as he had to turn his back on his only begotten Son. As Jesus suffered our hell for us, those hours that he hung on the cross when the sun was dark, refused to shine, Heaven, I just wondered what the angels thought in heaven. I wonder if they thought, man, what's going on? This has never happened before in all of history. Never have the Father and the Son been separated. But look, it's happening now, and it's all because of sin. But the Son came back out. He went to the tomb. He laid there for 3 days and three nights. We celebrated it a couple, 3 weeks ago on Easter Sunday morning. He came out of that tomb. And because he defeated death, because he defeated the grave, he's able to offer to every single person the gift of eternal life. How do I get it? I take it. I believe in my heart. I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart that Jesus died to pay for it. And then I just take it. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. I deserve to be separated from you forever and ever and ever. But I believe you love me. And right now I'm asking Jesus to save me, to be my Savior. You don't have to say those exact words, but there needs to be a time in your life. If you're here and you say, I'm saved, there needs to be a time in your life that you can look back and you say, I prayed a prayer like that. There was a time in my life that I can remember. I may not remember the day, I may not remember the date, but I can remember where I was, I can remember who I was with, and I can remember that I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And if you can't remember a time like that in your life, you need to make now that time. You need to make this very moment that time where you bow your heart and your head and you come to God and you say, I'm a sinner. I have no hope without what Jesus did up for me on Calvary. And this morning I'm asking him to save me. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you've not done it, why let this opportunity pass? You need to do it right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. It came at a great price. Great price that Jesus paid, a great price that you paid. And I pray, Father, that there wouldn't be one person here that doesn't know for sure that their sins are paid for by the blood of the Lamb without making sure this morning, without coming right where they are, without coming to Christ and asking him to save them. Man, woman, teenager, doesn't matter. If they've never done it, Father, help them to do it right now. In simple faith, just to ask Jesus to save them. And then, Father, I pray that in just a second when we stand and sing a hymn of invitation, that they would walk down the aisle, they would tell us what they've done, they'd let us rejoice with them that they asked Jesus to save them. If they need some help in doing it, I pray they'd come in just a moment and somebody will take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I know there's many, many Christians that are here. We love to hear the old story of how Jesus loved us. We never tired of it. And so I pray you draw us closer to him as we've relived again the price that was paid for our salvation. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.